Well, hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk. I'd like to share a verse with you that I think is one of the most significant passages in Scripture, and one which truly captures what we as a nation are facing today. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." This is a fundamental choice that we're going to face when we head to the polls on Election Day, Tuesday, November the 6th. In so many ways, this country is wallowing in a culture of death, and it's time for God's people to stand for life and righteousness in the public square. So gather your friends, family, and neighbors, and I'll see you at the polls this Election Day, November the 6th.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson, and our host, as always, is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. And Ryan, here we are exactly 1 week away from Election Day, and as such, we have the perfect program planned for this occasion.
We do. We're going to be focusing on religious liberty today, and Luann, I know that this is a topic close to most of our listeners' hearts, and most definitely important to my dad and all of us here at Family Talk. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, my dad appeared on a forum on religious liberty here in Colorado Springs, along with some other religious leaders and constitutional experts, and we're going to let our listeners hear a portion of that event today.
Yeah, it was a powerhouse panel, Ryan. They were all hosted by Bishop Michael Sheridan at the Holy Apostles Catholic Church here in town. Also part of the panel was Mr. Martin Nussbaum, a partner in the law firm Rothberger Johnson and Lyons. His primary practice is serving churches and other religious organizations and schools, including us here at Family Talk.
That's right. Also there were Dr. Tim Fuller, who teaches political theory at Colorado College, and Bishop Philip Porter, the founder of All Nations Pentecostal Church of God in Christ in Aurora, Colorado. All of these men gathered to discuss the current threats to religious liberty and just why this freedom is central to all of our other privileges as American citizens.
It is hard to think of a topic more appropriate as we all study our ballots this week and prepare to make some incredibly important decisions. Now, we don't have time to hear from everyone on the panel today, but we will be hearing from our host, Dr. James Dobson, and attorney Martin Nussbaum. So let's dive right in as moderator Eric Hall gets us started on this Family Talk broadcast.
We'll start with the first question to you, and this question comes from what you've said on your radio program. You've said there very clearly that you believe the battle to preserve religious liberty is a life and death struggle for the heart and soul of this nation. Please explain.
I am delighted to be with you all, and especially on this subject, which is, I think, as important as anything going on in the culture at this time. And our founding fathers felt that way. And to validate what I said in that statement, I don't remember it being said exactly like that, but that's what I believe, that we're in a life and death struggle for the soul of the nation. And it really does come down to that. And I want to admit to you all that I spent a good part of the weekend and this morning reviewing the history of this struggle for religious liberty, and especially what our founding fathers had to say. And I have some of that in writing, and I don't think I've ever given a speech in my life where I have essentially read to the public. I just don't do that. But I have to tonight, because I have quotes that I have not committed to memory, but I am very familiar with them. So let me tell you what I came across this weekend. And like I say, I've known some of it for some time, but I think we need to review. We need to go back to the times of our founding fathers in the 1780, 1781, where they were dealing with this very issue. And I don't think you can understand where we are today without knowing what they intended for us. So let me share some quotes with you. The second president of the United States, John Adams, said this: "We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passion, unbridled by morality and religion." In other words, it is the human nature is such that there is nothing in government that can corral it, other than morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. My father put it in different words, and you may think this is an overstatement, but he said, "Democracy is the worst form of government if the people want evil, because there's no stopping them." And that's why religious liberty for the people is so essential to the continuation of the democracy. James Madison reported to Thomas Jefferson in 1786 that the Virginia legislature had finally passed the great statute for religious liberty. They struggled a lot, debated a lot, and they passed it. Madison was exalted that the historic law would not establish a single church or denomination, but religious freedom itself. That's the basis for what we have inherited. It was the first time in human history, very first time in any government, any society, that such a law was passed, that people were free to believe and think what they wished, and it became the foundation for all civil liberty. And that's where we are today. Religious liberty is directly related to the continuation of our way of life and our government, because it is so critical to all the other forms of liberty that we have been given by the Founding Fathers. Madison also said that people are right to take alarm at the first advance on their liberties. In other words, you better defend them, because they will erode if you don't. And you got to stand up and support them, because it is so unusual for a people to have such freedom. And then all the other rights that are in the Bill of Rights and throughout our governmental heritage. So that's the way he saw it. Thomas Jefferson, our third president and one of the principal framers of the Constitution, wrote the words that now appear on his memorial in Washington, D.C. Now, you don't write things on the wall of a memorial in the nation's capital unless it's very, very important. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson is primarily known by being a framer of the Constitution, but also because he wrote a letter having to do with the separation of church and state. But that does not really describe what he believes. This is what's on that wall. "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure?" This is the same idea now. "When we have removed their only firm basis." What's the only firm basis for our liberty? It's a conviction in the minds of people that those liberties are the gift of God. That's 1781. That's what he said. What you enjoy in the way of freedom today, it is a direct product of the freedom to believe or not believe. We're not forced to believe anything, but we have the freedom to believe exactly what we want. And then, of course, he wrote the words that are despised by people coming from the far left. "We're endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life." Yeah, life. "Liberty and the pursuit of happiness." These are all linked together to form the religious liberty that's the foundation of all our freedoms. And yet, 231 years later, we're losing those religious liberties day by day. The Pew Research Center in 2009 said that there is almost an epidemic, a rising tide, they called it, of restrictions on religion that is spreading across the U.S. and around the world. Well, that was 2009, 2010. It's much more so today, and you all are reading about them every day. If a government can control the religious convictions and the beliefs of its people, they can control everything else. It's a search for power. That's what is going on. There is within government and within schools and within state governments an effort to take these liberties away and redefine them away. We have known it as freedom of religion. They're now starting to call it freedom, you got it, freedom of what? Worship. That's what they're calling it now, freedom of worship. Just with a nuance of language, they change it from the freedom to be influential in the society at large and to speak in the public square and to use your vote in the way you want. It's now being called freedom of worship, which means you can come into this church and you can worship how you want. That's the limit that they put on it. But it's a whole lot more than that. It is freedom of religion, the things that you believe and the way you use your influence in the culture. Who would have thought that the United States would unilaterally impose requirements that all of us would have to pay as part of the privilege of working? A tax, if you will, at least that's what the Supreme Court has now called it, on the contraceptives, and free contraceptives, and even abortifacients, which kill babies in some instances, and that would be imposed on us. I mean, that's a violation of a deeply held conviction for me and most of you, or you wouldn't be here. And yet, the government has also decreed, and you didn't mention this, that through our insurance, we have to help pay for abortions. I cannot abide that. And I wrote in a recent letter to my constituency, the Creator will not hold us guiltless if we turn a deaf ear to the cries of innocent babies. So come and get me if you must. I will not bow to your regulations. And this man is my attorney, and it's his problem to figure out how I'm going to avoid that.
Well, Dr. Dobson, if I may, I'd like to actually ask Mr. Nussbaum to expound just a little bit more for everyone here, the actual legal cases that are going on, the legal principles involved in that HHS mandate, because I think probably most of us have maybe heard of this, but possibly not enough of us know the details about what exactly all that litigation is about. So if you would pick that up, Mr. Nussbaum.
Thank you. So the HHS mandated that every employer in the United States, including religious employers like Colorado Christian University and Catholic Charities of Colorado Springs and others, must provide preventive care services for their employees. So-called preventive services include, as Bishop and Dr. Dobson have pointed out, contraceptives. The language has even been redefined. Pregnancy has been redefined so that the word contraceptive includes abortifacients. When the bishops and some other Protestant leaders, notably Dr. Dobson, Richard Land from the Southern Baptist Commission, Ethics Commission, and others, said, this is not right, you can't do this. He then issued his accommodation, which was a religious exemption. Now, what this exemption did, it's a religious exemption, is it was the teeny tiniest exemption in the history of federal religious exemptions from federal law. It was so tiny that Jesus and his 12, or Mother Teresa and her sisters of her religious order, would not qualify for it. I mean, it's that tiny. It might qualify a church who all the employees were members of the church, and the only people the church served were members of the church, would qualify for the exemption. But if it's a Christian church, you're called to reach out and serve people who aren't members, right? So almost no one qualifies for this, and clearly was intending to exclude Catholic hospitals, Catholic colleges, Catholic charities. Those type of organizations were clearly intended to be treated as goats under this exemption. And as a result of this, there have been 50 different religious institutions file approximately 25 lawsuits, more are being filed every day. And they include, the first one of the first ones filed was right here in Colorado, not by the Catholic Church, but by President Bill Armstrong, former Senator Bill Armstrong, but he's now the president of Colorado Christian University, filed a lawsuit. Why did he file a lawsuit? Evangelical Protestants, by and large, are not opposed to contraceptives. But they are opposed to the administration ordering to them to give contraceptives to their college students who aren't married. It was an infringement upon his religious liberty interest. And there have been lawsuits filed by huge Catholic hospitals, by Wheaton University, which is the Harvard of the evangelical university system, by the University of Notre Dame, by Steubenville. How often do this University of Notre Dame and Franciscan University in Steubenville stand shoulder to shoulder in opposition to these type of things? So this is unprecedented.
This is football season.
Right. It's unprecedented in American history to have this many lawsuits filed.
What are the status of these lawsuits?
The lawsuits, the first one that was decided involving a Catholic-owned business right here in Colorado called Hercules Industries. They said, we're operating our business according to our Catholic values, and we're not going to provide these benefits to our employees. They get all sorts of other benefits, and that lawsuit has gone to hearing on a preliminary injunction, and Judge Kane, a Democrat appointee, found for Hercules Industries in the first decision. Most of the lawsuits, yes, isn't that great? Most of the lawsuits involve religious institutions. This, by the way, is a huge principle because there's no difference in mandating that you pay for your employees abortifacient drugs as mandating that you pay for their surgical abortions or their post-term termination of human life and partial birth abortions. There's no difference legally in that mandate. It's also a huge issue because the fines are ruinous. I believe they're $100 per day per employee. No business can survive that type of fines. It will be crushing when those fines start coming in place.
A rather chilling discussion on this Family Talk broadcast as we examine some of the threats against our religious liberty. We hope you're paying attention as we're just a week away from Election Day. Now, we've heard a lot about the health and human services regulations and how they'll affect the church, but let's listen in together now as Martin Nussbaum describes some other recent cases where liberties have been attacked. Here he is now on this Family Talk broadcast.
In Colorado, Monsignor Buelt was asked to start a new parish in the town of Foxfield. And that town, early on, declared war on that church in part because he put a bunch of pro-life crosses up on his property on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And they passed what was a parking ordinance that would prohibit them from having their early meetings in the rectory before they had a church building built if two neighbors would complain about them. And I'm happy to report to you that my colleague Eric Hall and my colleague Chuck Goldberg resisted that, and eventually the town of Foxfield paid our legal fees for establishing their right to go forward. But it was simply an attack because they thought the traffic impediments, and maybe they also thought, but didn't say, the cultural impediments of having a Catholic church in their community would disrupt the culture that they had there. In the town of Boulder, there was a very successful evangelical academy there called the Rocky Mountain Christian Church. It's a church and a school, and they were doing very well, and they wanted to expand. Well, to expand, you got to go before the local planning board and get your plans approved. And the city of Boulder fought them at every front. One of their administrators says, "Don't you think you'd do better over in Bloomfield?" They suggested they leave the town. There was a lawsuit filed just because they wanted to grow, which is what I think Jesus called them to do. There's something about the Great Commission in the scriptures. That school spent $2.5 million in legal fees, regrettably with another law firm. But we were able to help in a number of ways. They eventually collected their legal fees from the city of Boulder simply so they could expand, but they had to go through $2.5 million of just legal hassles to do that. Let me go beyond Colorado, though, nationally. One of the primary techniques that are being used now is the licensing, because there's a lot of things we can't do in society unless we have a permission from the government to do it. I can't practice law. How many people in the room tonight have to be licensed to do your work by the government in some way or another? Okay? I'll give you a couple of examples. Julia Ward, African-American, 22-year-old student at Eastern Michigan University, was studying to get a master's in counseling because she wanted to counsel in high school, and she had to get a license. She had traditional beliefs regarding marriage. She was subject to the professional ethical code of the counseling profession. The school made her subject to that, but even before she was licensed. And she saw on the list of people she was to see in her clinical rotation a young man complaining of depression secondary to the breakup of his same-sex union. What to do? Her ethical code says she can't take her religious values into question in counseling him. She goes to her supervisor and said, "What do I do?" She says, "Just switch your 3 o'clock with Tom. Tom doesn't have the religious scruples that you do, and he can counsel the person." Fine, she went forward. You see, she's working in two systems, the rules of modern society and her religious rules. They switched. The university learned about it, hearings, eventually, to make a long story short, she was expelled from the university, deemed unfit by the university to be licensed as a professional. Eventually, that case went to court and was reversed. Other examples of licensing, though, in Boston, in San Francisco, in the Washington, D.C., and in the entire state of Illinois, they have passed laws advancing prohibiting discrimination against homosexuality, and they have decided that those organizations are unfit to place children in families because they insist that they be placed in families with a mama and a papa in the household, and they're no longer licensed as child placement agencies. And these were organizations that went out and made claims upon people of faith, just like, frankly, we see here in our community, Pastor Brady Boyd at New Life Church is leading a movement to get children adopted from foster homes in this state by making religious claims upon the faithful to adopt them. So that's licensing. Another example of licensing is the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts want permits to go to the park. But certain cities, they're being deemed unfit to use parks or to rent public buildings because they of their particular beliefs regarding not having active homosexual scout leaders who are out and promoting that. They're deemed unfit.
And that wraps up our special emphasis on religious liberty here on this Family Talk broadcast, as we have just 1 week to go before the presidential election next week. It is breathtaking to hear some of the threats that have been made against religious liberty in our country. Ryan, 10 or 20 years ago, I don't think we would be discussing some of these items.
Well, and maybe we should have. It's amazing how quickly it all seems to happen.
Yeah.
How precious our freedoms are and how easily we can lose them. But I think I speak for a lot of our listeners when I say not on our watch.
That's right.
I can't wait to head to the polls on Election Day.
And we would encourage all of you to get informed on the issues and bring your values with you into the voting booth. Even share a link to this broadcast on your own Facebook page as a way of urging your friends and family members to make their voices heard. You can find that link online at drjamesdobson.org.
Also there, you can request our three CD set entitled Defending America, another great item to have on your shelf if you care about protecting our freedoms. If you'd like to call us for that CD or to donate to our work, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for tuning in today, and be sure to return tomorrow when we will hear a powerful message from historian David Barton. You don't want to miss that, so we'll see you back here tomorrow on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
We all know you love keeping up with old friends and posting pictures of your kids on Facebook, but did you know you can also find America's foremost family authority there? For up-to-date program information and the latest articles and insights from psychologist and best-selling author and my dad, Dr. James Dobson, go to your Facebook page and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook. Join the growing number of fans and like us today.